ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्याज्ञनञ्जनाचलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवै नमः।
गुरुकृष्णरूपाय शास्त्रेरप्रमाणे गुरुरूपे कृष्णकृपाखोरिण भक्तगाने।
According to the deliberate opinion of all revealed scriptures, the spiritual master is none different from Krishna. Lord Krishna, in the form of the spiritual master, delivers his devotees. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The relationship of a disciple with his spiritual master is as good as his relationship with the Supreme Lord. A spiritual master always represents himself as the humblest servitor of the personality of Godhead, but the disciple must look upon him as the manifested representation of Godhead. Here is an apparent contradiction which can only be reconciled through a spiritual vision. It is described here that the spiritual master, Prabhupada is describing, always considers himself and represents himself as the humblest servitor of the personality of Godhead. But the disciple must look upon him as the manifested representation of Godhead. So the spiritual master accepts, as Prabhupada is explaining, a very humble position of being servant of God. That is how he considers himself, and that is how he represents himself. But the disciple cannot see him in that light. It would be offensive. But rather, the disciple sees him, his spiritual master, as the very manifestation of God himself, in the form of the representative of God. The spiritual master considers himself the most fallen, the most lonely, lowly, and sometimes even represents himself in all genuine honesty as the most fallen and the most lowly. But the disciple sees that he is actually in the highest position. He is in the highest position because he is representing the delegation of God's supreme grace in my life and in this world. It's like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Sometimes he would have a very easy test by which he knew who he would spend time with and who he would not among sadhus. When sadhus would come in, he would say, "Are you a devotee of Krishna?" And if the sadhu would say, "Yes, I am a devotee of Krishna," Bhakti Siddhanta would say, "Well, I have another appointment right now. I'm very busy. Namaste." And if that person would say, "No, I am a devotee of the servant of Krishna," then Bhakti Siddhanta would say, "Oh, I have as long as whatever time you would like, I am your servant." Because you cannot approach Krishna directly. You must approach Krishna through the manifested representation of Krishna. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, on his Vyas Puja, one time he was explaining that I am sitting on this very beautiful lofty seat, but in my heart I am feeling like I am a dog. What right does a dog have to be sitting on this high seat? I am the lowly servant of all of these people. But for their benefit, I must teach them how to worship me as the representative of God. So the spiritual master accepts that worship only for the benefit of the disciples. And he accepts the deputation of God's ambassador in this world for the sake of the disciples. But he presents himself in his own honesty as simply the most humble servitor of the personality of God.
Acharyam mam vijaniyan, acharyam mam vijaniyam navamanyet karhichit, namartya bhujyasu yeta sarvadeva mayo guru.
One should know the acharya as myself and never disrespect him in any way. One should not envy him, thinking him an ordinary man, for he is the representative of all the demigods. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11.17.27, spoken by Lord Krishna when he was questioned by Uddhava regarding the four social and spiritual orders of society. The spiritual master is not an enjoyer of facilities offered by his disciples. He was specifically instructing how a brahmachari should behave under the care of a spiritual master. A spiritual master is not an enjoyer of facilities offered by his disciples. He is like a parent. Without the attentive service of his parents, a child cannot grow to manhood. Similarly, without the care of the spiritual master, one cannot rise to the plane of transcendental science. The spiritual master is also called acharya, or a transcendental professor of spiritual science. The Manhu Samhita explains the duties of an acharya, describing that a bona fide spiritual master accepts charge of disciples, teaches them the Vedic knowledge with all its intricacies, and gives them their second birth. The ceremony performed to initiate a disciple into the study of spiritual science is called Upaniti, or the function that brings one nearer to the spiritual master. One who cannot be brought nearer to a spiritual master cannot have a sacred thread, and thus he is indicated to be a shudra. The sacred thread on the body of a Brahman, Kshatriya, or Vaishya is a symbol of initiation by the spiritual master. It is worth nothing if worn merely to boast of high parentage. The duty of the spiritual master is to initiate a disciple with the sacred thread ceremony, and after this samskara or purificatory process, the spiritual master actually begins to teach the disciple about the Vedas. A person born a shudra is not barred from such spiritual initiation, provided he is approved by the spiritual master, who is duly authorized to award a disciple the right to be a Brahman if he finds him perfectly qualified. In the Vayu Purana, an acharya is defined as one who knows the import of all Vedic literature, explains the purpose of the Vedas, abides by their rules and regulations, and teaches his disciples to act in the same way. Only out of his immense compassion does the personality of Godhead reveal himself as the spiritual master. Therefore, in the dealings of an acharya, there are no activities but those of transcendental loving service to the Lord. He is the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. It is worthwhile to take shelter of such a steady devotee, who is called Ashraya Vigraha, or the manifestation or form of the Lord, of whom one to take shelter, whom one must take shelter. In this regard, the first most important understanding that an aspiring devotee must have is that we have four defects. We have imperfect senses. We have the tendency to cheat. We are invariably illusioned, and we commit mistakes. Therefore, with these imperfect senses, we should write this down. Do you all know the four defects that every conditioned soul has? We have imperfect senses. Our senses, we look at the sun and it looks like we can cover it with our thumb. But actually the sun is millions of times greater than in size than this earth. We cannot hear even what is in the next room. Our senses are so limited and imperfect. We have we are invariably illusioned. Under the impression that we are this material body, we are acting in so many illusory ways throughout our life to satisfy our senses, which really have nothing to do with the eternal soul. We commit mistakes. However great we are in this world, everyone is from time to time making mistakes. Even great leaders such as Mahatma Gandhi, he was told on that day that people have come to kill you. Do not go out and speak in your garden in Delhi today. He said, no, I will go. And he went and he was killed. Even President Kennedy, that in Dallas, Texas, his own bodyguards and the CIA, not CIA, but the Secret Service, they told him that we have information that there are people out there who have devised an entire plan to assassinate you. You should not go. And if you go, you should not go in convertible. You should go in bulletproof car. He said, no, no, there is no problem. So here are some of the most powerful men that we have seen in our modern history. And yet they commit mistakes. Deathly mistakes that cost their lives. So what is our position in comparison to them? And despite having imperfect senses, invariably illusion, committing mistakes, we are having a very strong tendency to cheat. And that is the fourth defect. Although we have all these imperfections and defects still, we like to pose ourselves as knowing, as being very great. So because of these four defects or imperfections, we can never understand what is perfect. God is perfect. We can never understand truth as long as the instruments, our mind and senses, in which we are trying to absorb from through, are full of imperfections. Therefore, a devotee understands that I am in a very, very lamentable situation, and I cannot understand God or truth on my own. I must humble myself and hear from someone who is representing that higher power of God's mercy. Therefore, the spiritual master, he is simply the representative of God, delivering the message of God's words. And therefore, what he says is perfect. Srila Prabhupada was once asked by a guest in his room, Swamiji, are you perfect? And there were newspapers there with their pencils waiting for the answer. And Prabhupada said, I am personally not perfect. He said, but because I am only repeating without adulteration what I have heard from the perfect source of the disciplic succession of Lord Krishna, everything I say is perfect. So that is the quality of a spiritual master. He never thinks he's great. He simply considers himself the agent. So if we hear through Guru from the bona fide disciplic succession, everything we hear is perfect. And through that medium, we can understand the perfection. Krishna says in Gita, Tadvidi pranipatina pariprasnena sevaya. If we want to know the truth, we have to pranipat. Pranipat means we have to surrender, we have to humble ourselves first. We have to accept that I do not know anything, you know. That's the first position. Pranipat. To bow down, to surrender. That I know nothing, you know everything. That disposition is the beginning of our spiritual life. Then pariprashne. That means, pariprashna means to inquire submissively. Now I'm in the proper disposition. Now please instruct me. What is the truth? What is the goal of life? Who am I? What is my duty? And then sevaya, to render service, to apply what we have heard from the spiritual master as within our actions of life. So a disciple must have pranipat, pariprashna, and sevaya. He must first humble himself, surrender himself, then he must inquire submissively, then he must act upon that by rendering service. The disciple should never think that I am doing my activities to gain something from my guru and to gain something from Krishna. That a disciple should be in a spirit of service. That I am doing this to give, to offer my life, to offer as a sacrifice my actions for the pleasure of guru and for the pleasure of Krishna. And how do we know who is a genuine guru? It is said that Sri Guru has two manifestations. Ultimately, Krishna is Jagat Guru, and he is manifesting within this world in two ways. One is from within the heart, as the Paramatma, the Chaitya Guru. And the other is the Guru who is appearing externally, speaking to us. Now, these two Gurus will always be guiding us, but we mustn't understand properly how to follow their guidance. In the contaminated state, we cannot have direct cognizance of the Chaitya Guru, or the Guru of the heart. Krishna says in Gita, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantate. For one who is constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give understanding of how to come to me from within. And a conditioned soul cannot be on that plane of being constantly devoted and worshipping Krishna with love. Therefore, our access to the Chaitya Guru, the Lord of the heart, has been blocked by our separate desires. Therefore, that Chaitya Guru speaks through the external manifestation of the spiritual master. Now, how do we know who is the bona fide spiritual master? Because after all, there are so many people who present themselves as God, who perform magic tricks, who teach something less than the authorized parampara, who give their own opinions. How do we know who is the bona fide guru? We have to make a very sincere study. We have to make a very sincere effort to know the science of Krishna consciousness, to have that elementary idea of what is a bona fide guru. But ultimately, this will not give us the true comprehension. It is the Chaitya Guru in the heart. If you are sincere, the Chaitya Guru in the heart will guide you to the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master, and it is the Guru in the heart who will establish faith in the proper spiritual master. It is said that birds of a feather flock together. If you're insincere, Krishna will guide you to an insincere guru who's teaching something partial. If you are sincere, then Krishna will guide you and give you that faith. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that I am the one that establishes people's faith in whatever they follow in life. If you want to be an atheist, Krishna is the one that gives you faith in the atheistic principle that there is no God. You cannot create faith. Faith is a gift of God, every type of faith. If you are a worshiper of the demigods for material benedictions as the goal of life, Krishna will reward you from within the heart that faith by which a guru is teaching you to worship a demigod as the perfection of life for some material desire, karma kanda. So it factually is Krishna who gives you, who guides you to Guru and gives you faith in Guru. It's really beyond our capacity and beyond our ability to figure out who is bona fide Guru on our own. But we have to try. We have to try with all honesty and sincerity for the right purpose. and then Krishna will guide and Krishna will reveal. And then when we find that bona fide spiritual master, Krishna will speak, the Lord in the heart will speak through his mouth in such a way to teach us everything we need to know to gradually come to the purified state by which we can know him, see him, and love him. We have to try with all honesty and sincerity for the right purpose. And then Krishna will guide and Krishna will reveal. And then when we find that bona fide spiritual master, Krishna will speak, the Lord in the heart will speak through his mouth in such a way to teach us everything we need to know to gradually come to the purified state by which we can know him, see him, and love him directly. Prabhupada explains that the Guru is called the Ashraya Vigraha, or the manifestation or form of the Lord of whom one must take shelter. Ashraya means shelter. We should see the Guru as non-different than God in the sense that he is the agent in which God is giving of his own self for us to take shelter of in this world. We want to take shelter of Krishna. How to take shelter of Krishna? Krishna manifests as Sri Guru to give us his shelter. If one poses himself as an acharya, but does not have an attitude of servitorship to the Lord, he must be considered an offender. And this offensive attitude disqualifies him from being an acharya. The bona fide spiritual master always engages in unalloyed devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By this test he is known to be a direct manifestation of the Lord and a genuine representative of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Such a spiritual master is known as Acharyadev. Influenced by an envious temperament and dissatisfied because of an attitude of sense gratification, mundaners criticize a real acharya. In fact, however, a bona fide acharya is non-different from the personality of Godhead, and therefore to envy such an acharya is to envy the personality of Godhead himself. This will produce an effect subversive to transcendental realization. There is a verse which explains that one who sees the deity of the Lord as made of stone, one who sees the spiritual master as an ordinary man, and one who sees the Vaishnav to be belonging to a particular caste is Jati Bhuti. His intelligence is coming from hell. Arche Vishnu Shiladir Gurushu Naramatir Vaishnavi Jati Bhuti. One must be very careful. We have to see through the eyes of Scripture, not see through our senses. When we see the deity of the Lord, it is the influence of hell, and our mind becomes none different than hell if we see the deity as simply made of stone. God himself has appeared within that manifested form to receive our service and grant us his divine grace. And similarly, to see the Guru as an ordinary man, even though the Guru, because he considers himself an ordinary man, Prabhupada would often say, "I am just an ordinary man." He sees himself as less than an ordinary man. And the guru has to go to bathroom. The guru sometimes gets sick. The guru, as long as he's on the delegation of the Lord in this material world, he's subjected to the conditions of this world. And the guru doesn't try to be like a mystic yogi to overcome or contradict the conditions of this world. Sometimes mystic yogis, they can do this. They can keep their body from aging through the mystic yogic process, and people think this person is really a great guru. He's counteracted the power of material nature. But a bona fide spiritual master in the line of bhakti understands that this material nature is Krishna's nature. Why should I contradict it? If the body's supposed to get old, let the body get old. Sometimes the body gets sick, sometimes yogis, they never eat. To show that they are beyond material nature. A guru oftentimes, this body needs to eat, so I will eat. So he appears in many ways like an ordinary man. But because whatever he is doing is for the service of the Lord and the glorification of the Lord, he is not taking these things for his sense gratification. And because he is always glorifying the Lord, and because he's representing the Lord through his words and through his actions by always being engrossed in the service of the Lord, that is the test of who is a bona fide spiritual master. That humility as being the servant of the Lord is the real qualification, not these abilities to counteract material nature. In India, people are very, very boastful that my guru, he fasted for 180 days, or my guru, he would walk from his cave to this particular place. It's 100 miles. He would do it every day, and then he would go back. Or they're very proud of the miraculous things that their guru does. Whether they do or not, we don't hold it against them. We don't hold it for them. The most important thing is my guru is the humble servant of the previous acharyas. And he's simply repeating the message of the acharyas. And he's compassionately trying to train us in the same way. When they asked Prabhupada, can you perform a miracle? He said, I have made these hippies into happies. And then again he would say, I haven't done it. It's my Guru Maharaj has done it. I am simply making the delivery of his grace to them. That is a bona fide guru. And to envy such a guru, or to see a guru or a Vaishnav with material vision, is a great offense. In the Upadeshamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami explains that even if the guru has skin diseases, infections and everything, we should never think that he's an ordinary man. We must see his divine position. Srila Rupa Goswami explains in Prabhupada and Purport that if you go to the Ganges and you see foaming bubbles and you see dirt, you should never think that the Ganges is contaminated. The Ganges is pure. So similarly, one who is surrendering his life in the loving service of the Lord, even though on a physical level he may appear, of course his actions are never impure, his words are never impure, but as far as his physical condition, he may have terrible diseases, he may be in very, very difficult situation in that regard. But a disciple does not even consider these things, knowing that it is an offense. When the spiritual master is suffering, he's suffering for another reason than we can understand. Srila Prabhupada, after he would give big initiations, sometimes he would become very sick. Say, I'm assuming the karma of all these disciples. I don't have to. I could just pass it all on to Krishna. But I'm willing to do it because that is my mission for my Guru Maharaj. And sometimes when Prabhupada would be very sick, he would say, it is because the leaders of my society are not following the regulative principles. So he is living simply for us. And therefore one should never see the guru as an ordinary man. And the other part of that verse is one should never see the Vaishnav as belonging to any material designations. Arache Vishnu Shiladir Gurushu Naramatira Vaishnavi Jati Buddhi. To see the deity as made of stone, to see the guru as ordinary man, write these three things down, and to see the Vaishnava as belonging to any particular caste or creed means your mind is coming from hell, according to the Shastra. Haridas Thakur was a Muslim by birth. He was an untouchable. But we glorify him as the Namacharya every day. We were reading yet on the birth of or disappearance of Narottam Das Thakur. He was born in Shudra family. and he was criticized by so many, but the highest Brahmins accepted him as guru. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, by his causeless mercy, he transformed people born in the West, born in families of Malechas and Yavanas, into great devotees of the Lord, into bona fide spiritual master. And anyone who sees, oh, that person is American, or that person is outcast, or that poor, that is hellish mentality. If that person is surrendered to the previous acharyas and representing the previous acharya, that Vaishnava, not only the guru, but the Vaishnava, who is simply sincerely attempting to do that, should not be considered in any material category whatsoever, except that he is the servant of the Lord. He is a Vaishnava. Is there any questions? Yes? I already explained. Is there any other questions?
They said that by Krishna's mercy we bring guru, and by guru's mercy we bring guru. Is it, does it mean this for like taking, we are directed to understand who
is? It says in the Bible, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall open. If you're not really and sincerely looking, searching, making it a priority in your life, you maybe by the causeless mercy of the spiritual master, he will intervene in your life. But if we're serious about spiritual life, we should not simply be waiting for the bona fide guru to intervene in our life. We have to be very seriously searching for him. We have to be very seriously praying to God to give us guidance how to come to him, to how to love him, how to serve him. And if we are sincere and Krishna gives us the guidance from within the heart to the lotus feet of guru, and he also establishes the proper faith which is required to hear from him and to serve him, to surrender to him. Based on our desire, Krishna from within reciprocates. Any other questions?
So in the causeless mercy of the guru, we Krishna, we get a guru. Although our Chaitya guru is, we have not had that sincerity, yet we got that guru. But how to bring out that sincerity to accept it very promises?
Inquire submissively and render service. This is how we express. We must humble ourselves as Arjuna, that I do not know, you know, please instruct me. That is inquiring submissively. And then what he tells us, with great determination, with great resolution, we must carry out his orders. Through these two processes, we can express to Guru and to Krishna our willingness to want to be Krishna conscious. The duty of Guru is to put you in touch with the Paramatma, and the duty of Paramatma is to put you in touch with Guru. Now, that relationship is based on our surrender, not on lip service. Prabhupada used to say, don't keep a guru as a wallflower, as a decoration to show people, yes, you see, I have a guru. That is not the type of disciple that a guru wants. And the disciple will get minimal benefits. But we should accept a guru with a genuine desire to humble ourselves, hear from him, and serve him, and take shelter of him. Then the true transaction of transcendental grace can take place. Any other questions?
Does the disciple recognize his guru in the spiritual world?
Yes. Of course.
You said
when that love is established, that love is eternal. It never ends. In fact, your natural spontaneous desire will be to serve him, to assist him in the spiritual world. A disciple would not want it any other way. He has given me so much, he has helped me so much, such love. Let me serve him forever. That's why when we pray, we send to our Guru Maharaj, we address ourselves as his eternal servant. That is to be understood literally. Yes. In Krishna Loka, everyone has a body that is Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. But there are innumerable varieties of how these Satchit Ananda forms appear. Some are a cow, some are a tree, Kalpa Vriksha tree, some are flowers, some are monkeys, some are peacocks, some is the grass, some are the fish in the Jamuna, some are the birds in the sky, the parrots. Some are the deer. Some are the creepers embracing the trees. Some are friends, cowherd boys. Some are gopis. Some are bumblebees. It's constantly hovering around Krishna's beautiful lotus garland, just singing sweet songs in Krishna's praise. Bumblebees have wonderful service. Wherever Krishna goes, they just hover around his garlands, chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Praising the glories of Krishna, whatever he's doing, they're just singing how beautiful he is, performing these super excellent activities, just to please him, to praise him. Krishna gives you, according to your natural tendency to love him and serve him, he gives you a particular body. How do the birds serve Krishna? All the nice species. The birds, how they serve, they can do anything they want. Every living being in Goloka can do anything they want for Krishna. They sing for him when he rises in the morning. They're singing beautiful songs for his pleasure. The flapping of their wings. They could make beautiful musical sounds through the flapping of their wings for the pleasure of Krishna. They can come and allow, they could make themselves so beautiful, so decorative, with such beautiful colored feathers, just for him to see, just to decorate the arena of his playground. They can, anything they want to do, their desire is fulfilled to satisfy Krishna. And now, yes?
Generally in India, people are going to temple and approaching God in front of the deity. He's giving this, giving that. Now it's told, one cannot approach Krishna directly. But this is Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says, Chaturveda Bhajan Tamam Janas Kriti Arjuna, after the Jnasa Arthati Ganisha Bhakti. How is this?
What is that verse?
Chaturveda Bhajan Tamam. Four types of
pious
man approaching directly to deities in the temple.
He doesn't say that, you see, if you are sincere in how you approach Krishna and for the right purpose, then Krishna will, you can approach Krishna in the temple. But if your desire, your motive is correct in approaching the deity in the temple, then Krishna will direct you to a bona fide spiritual master to teach you how to serve him and how to love him. But if you are insincere, he will just give you this misconception that you can just go on forever just asking him for things and approaching him directly.
He'll give you that misdirected faith because you are insincere. That yes, I'm approaching Krishna directly. But if you are sincere, he will send you to Guru and give you that faith of how to approach him through the agency of the shelter, his representative on earth.